Hello there, listeners. This is Jay here to give you a little introduction to the show. You're going to see in just a few minutes that we pretty much jump right into the content. And if you read the show notes or you're an avid listener of DFC, you probably already realize this is an episode unlike any other one. And for those of you that are just finding the show, let me give you a little DFC history and how tonight's show kind of came together. So, over 3 years ago, Justin Time and I worked together at a local bar. And after cleaning up, we'd oftentimes just chill out for hours and just go on about the most random shit. Of course, we were pretty drunk at the time. But Justin had a little radio and podcast experience. Always been kind of good at this kind of thing. So we started talking about doing a podcast. And we grabbed my girl Danny to complete our threesome and started up DFC, Drunk Film Commentary. The show started off pretty rough. And it was just three of us going through a random movie, talking about the scenes, the characters, the actors, all the shit. And we did our top fives. And this is all in between drinking a hell of a lot of beer and plenty of shots. Many of our shows started with three people and ended with two. But over time, we had a few people who would come in and do like a guest spot on the show. We had Nate, Mark, Amanda, Donnie, and they are all great. And in the past year, the show has kind of evolved, and now it's Jolene, Nadia, and I are the hosts on a pretty regular basis. This summer, I wanted to try and get like a show that had everybody all together at once, like an anniversary party or something. But I knew that having 10 people all talk at once would be a total shit show. So like, I thought of doing something, you know, like a script reading or like a radio play or something. And so I looked online, looked for some ideas, and I found the full script of one of the most important movies of our generation, Kevin Smith's Clerks. And this is the original version. This one had a slightly different line reads, had some new scenes, and it had that original ending you might have seen. So I started throwing this idea around to a few of my friends, and they were all in for it. So I invited everyone who's ever been on a show to join us for a script reading of Clerks. You know, my vision was that we'd all be sitting around a table, and each person would have a character or two, and we'd add in some sound effects on the fly, and just kind of run straight through it, you know? No problem. I hadn't thought that far ahead. A little bit more planning was needed. It was tricky, but all these crazy fuckers said, hell yeah, sounds fun. So these are my friends. These are the ones that decided to join me in a goofy night of playing pretend. And a huge thanks to all of them for coming out and being enthusiastic and just ready to have a good time. A special shout out goes out to Nadia for taking up the large role of Veronica with just hours of notice. She did a great job. We also have a newcomer tonight. We have Raven. She's our first time on the show. She's a long-time listener, first-time DFCer. And we got the rest of the cast of the tonight's show. We have the aforementioned Justin Time returns, as does the lovely Danielle. Mark provides some great voices for many minor characters. He was a guest on one DFC episode. And Nate's been around for a few of them. He's our Walt Flanagan of the night. He got to play the most characters and also maybe had the least lines. Nate, along with Nadia, hosted the party in their garage. So big thanks to them for having us over and throwing us a great party. So, and of course, I have to mention our lead, which is Jolene, taking on the role of Dante, which was a big role. And she's one of the co-hosts on the newer episodes of DSC. So hope you enjoy that. I will be your narrator throughout the show, which is kind of a bummer because I like doing stupid voices too. So when you listen to this, I want you to keep a few things in mind. Number one, none of us are trained in any kind of acting. We are not professionals. So don't go comment on our acting skills in the comment box, all right? I didn't go put up an ad at the Actors Craft Studio across the street to get participants for this. I asked my drunk friends to hang out in the garage on a 95-degree summer night. And fuck, it was hot. By the way, sorry about any fan noise, but there was no fucking way we were turning those things off. So, and we were recording in a garage, so you might hear a couple cars drive by, the occasional dog bark, yeah, deal with it. Okay, number two, not only are we not real actors, but we didn't even rehearse this thing, alright? I doled out the roles and gave each person a copy of the script about 6 weeks before we were going to record. And that day we had a cookout, we drank a lot of beers, and then we sat down finally and we went through like two or three scenes just to make sure everyone knew their parts. And that was it, man. The fact that they don't all sound like they're reading from a book is just amazing. I mean, all you guys did a great job, and I'm really proud of them. So, if anyone makes a shitty comment, we're all going to show up at your door, you know, like Jay and Bob did, and strike back. So, one more thing. If by fat chance the If this somehow finds its way to Kevin Smith or Miramax, hold the phone before you call your lawyers, please. I had this ball in motion long before I thought to myself, I wonder if this is legal. But I assure you, you're not going to hear any ads in this thing. We don't make a fucking dime doing this. So, hopefully, cut us some slack. So, here's the show, guys. I hope you like it. Drop us a line at drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. And stay drunk.
Another drink, plenty in the cellar when it's gone. Drink, drink, the glasses clink, making tinkly music till the dawn is breaking. Clang, clang, who cares a dang? What's the difference when you're on a spree? Over the teeth, behind the gums, look out, stomach, here she comes. I have another drink on me. Gurgle, 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 gurgle.
All right, hey everybody. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you like podcasts?
I do.
Yeah.
Do you like movies?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do drunk people annoy you?
No.
Well, then you came to the right place. This is Drunk Film Commentary. And today we have a very special anniversary show where we are going to do Clerks by Kevin Smith. We have almost everyone that has ever been on a episode, and they're all going to do their parts, and we're going to have a great time. We have been drinking already. We had a great cookout. Everyone want to say hi? We got Justin over here.
Hello, everyone.
There's Mark. Time. Mark, yell out.
Yeah, hello.
We got Jolene over here.
Hi.
Raven, yell.
We're ready to go.
Nadia, hey.
Back again.
All right, and Danny.
Hello.
Hello, and then is there someone else? Nate.
Nate, I think Nate he put the dog
off.
In the
yeah.
dog.
Okay.
Well, I think he put the dog inside because he was a little barky.
All right. Well, we're going to get right to it. We're doing this script reading of Clerks. I will be your narrator. Clerks by Kevin Smith. Interior bedroom, early morning hours. A dog sleeps on a neatly made bed. A clock reads 20 to 6. A shelf of books holds such classics as Dante's Inferno, Beyond Good and Evil, The Catcher in the Rye, The Dark Knight Returns. A framed diploma, dusty and unkempt, hangs askew on the wall. A snapshot of a girl is stuck in the corner, and a bra weighs heavily on one end. A phone sits quietly atop a bundle of laundry. It suddenly explodes with a resounding ring. Once, twice, three times. A closet door swings open, and a half-clad figure falls out. The phone rings yet again, and a hand falls upon the receiver, yanking up the trash can. Dante lays with his back to the camera, phone in hand.
Hello? What? No, I don't work today. I'm playing hockey at 2.
The dog yawns and shakes its head.
Why don't you call Randall? Because I'm fucking tired. I just closed last night. Jesus, what time are you gonna come in? 12. Be there at 12, swear!
A picture of a girl leans against a trophy. The pitcher is decorated with a Play-Doh beard and a mustache.
Swear you'll be in 12, and I'll do it. 12. 12 or a walk.
The phone receiver slams into the cradle. The rumpled figure slowly sits up and remains motionless. The dog stands and wags his tail. A hand pats his head. The rumpled figure lays down on the bed. We now see his face. It is the face of Dante. And this is Dante's room. This is Dante's life. Dante grabs the dog and wrestles it.
Next time, I get the bed.
He releases the dog and sits up.
Shit.
Cut to interior bathroom, minutes later. A steaming shower fills the room. The dog licks water from the toilet. Cut to interior kitchen, minutes later. A towel-dressed Dante opens the fridge and peers inside. He grabs a half-empty gallon of milk and closes the door. Cut to interior kitchen, seconds later. Chocolate milk mix is heaped into a tumbler. One scoop, two scoops, three scoops, four scoops. Cut to interior bedroom a minute later. Dante gulps up his breakfast while feeling inside the closet for some clothes. Some chocolate milk spills on the floor. The dog laps at the small puddle of chocolate milk. Cut to interior hallway minutes later. Dante's feet are hastily covered. A hand grabs keys from atop a VCR. Cut to exit driveway minutes later. A car backs out of the driveway and speeds down the street. Cut to exterior convenience store, morning. Holy shit, this is all me. The car pulls up with a screech. Feet descend to the ground from the open door. Keys jam into a lock and pop it open. Cut to Dante lifts the metal shutter, revealing the door. He opens it and grabs two bundles of papers, throwing them inside the store. Cut to interior convenience store, morning. A very dark room, barely lit by the daylight. Suddenly, the lights flicker on, revealing the glorious interior of the convenience store. The cat looks at Dante, and he passes the camera quickly. The paper bundle is snapped open with a knife. Newspapers slam into the appropriate racks. One rack remains empty. A coffee filter is placed in a metal pot. Ground coffee follows, and the mix is shoved into place in the coffee maker. The switch is flicked and the machine comes to life. The empty newspaper rack with the heading Asbury Park Press seems out of place among all the other stacks of papers. Dante rubs his chin and stares, puzzled. He rolls his eyes as it occurs to him.
Shit.
The register pops open and a hand extracts a quarter. Cut to exterior convenience store, morning. POV, newspaper machine. Through murky glass and thin metal grating, we see Dante approach. He stops and drops a quarter in the slot. He pulls the door down, finally allowing us a clear view as he inches towards the camera. Dante pulls a stack of newspapers from the Asbury Park Press vending machine. He struggles to hold on to them in one hand as he lets the door slam shut. He turns to walk away, but the sound of the quarter dropping in the change slot stops him. He takes a step back to grab the coin. Cut to interior convenience store, morning. The papers drop into the once empty rack with a resounding flop. The quarter drops back in the register drawer. Cut to exterior convenience store, morning. Dante tries to jam the key in the window shutter lock. He looks down at it.
Shit!
The lock is gummed up with gum or something hard and obtrusive like gum, preventing the key from being inserted. Dante looks around and kicks the shutter angrily. The car truck pops open and a hand reaches inside, pulling out a folded white sheet. Cut to interior convenience store. A can of shoe polish is grabbed from the shelf. Dante dips his fingers into the shoe polish and writes large letters on the unfurled sheet, leaning on the cooler. Cut to exterior convenience store. Dante stands on a garbage can and tucks a corner of the sheet under the awning. He jumps down. The banner reads, "I assure you, we're open." The door sign shifts from closed to open. Cut to interior convenience store. The clock reads 6:20. Dante leans behind the counter. The morning routine completed. He stares ahead, catatonic, then drops his head in his hands. The day has begun. Cut to exterior convenience store. The store, with its makeshift banner looming in the dim morning hour just after dawn, a car drives by. Cut to interior convenience store. Dante waits on a customer buying coffee.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Mind if I drink this here?
Sure. Go ahead.
The activist leans on a briefcase and drinks his coffee. Another customer leans in the door.
Are you open?
Yeah.
Pack of cigarettes.
Are you sure?
Am I sure?
Are you sure?
Am I sure about what?
Do you really want to buy those cigarettes?
Are you serious?
How long have you been smoking?
What is this, a poll?
Beats me.
How long have you been a smoker?
Since I was 13.
The activist lifts his briefcase on the counter. He opens it and extracts a sickly-looking lung model.
I'd say you're about, what, 19, 20? Am I right?
What the hell is that?
That's your lung. By this time, your lung looks like that.
You're shitting me.
You think I'm shitting you?
The activist hands him something from inside the briefcase.
What's this?
It's a trach ring. It's what they install on your throat when throat cancer takes your voice box. This one came out of a 60-year-old man.
Ugh.
He smoked until the day he died. Used to put the cigarette in this thing and smoke it right there.
Excuse me, but...
This is where you're heading. A cruddy lung smoking through a hole in your throat? Do you really want that?
Well, if it's already too late.
It's never too late. Give those cigarettes back now and buy some gum instead. Here, Chewy's gum.
It's not the same.
It's cheaper than cigarettes, and it certainly beats this.
She hands him a pitcher.
Jesus.
It's a picture of a cancer-ridden lung. Keep it.
I'll just take the gum.
55.
You've made a wise choice. Keep up the good work.
The customer exits.
Maybe you should take that coffee outside.
No, I think I'll drink it in here. Thanks.
If you're gonna drink it in here, I'd appreciate it if you not bother the customers.
Okay, sorry about that.
Another customer comes up to the counter.
A pack of cigarettes. What's that?
This? How long have you been smoking?
Cut to exterior convenience store. A blank wall. Jay steps in the frame, followed by Silent Bob. Jay pulls off his coat and swings it into the arms of Silent Bob. Jay then throws down with a makeshift slam dance, spinning his arm and fake hitting Silent Bob.
We need some tits and ass. Yeah.
Silent Bob lights a smoke.
I feel good today, Silent Bob. We're gonna make some money, and then you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna go to that party and get some pussy. I'm fucking this bitch, that bitch. I'll fuck anything that moves!
Silent Bob points to something off screen.
What are you looking at? I'll kick your fucking ass. Doesn't that motherfucker still owe me $10?
Silent Bob nods.
Tonight, you and me, we're gonna get that fucker's head and take out his fucking soul. Remind me, if he tries to buy something from us, to cut it with leaves and twigs, or fucking shit in his mother's bag.
Some girls walk past. Jay smiles at them.
What's up, sluts? Damn, Silent Bob. One rude motherfucker, but you're cute as hell. I want to go down in you and suckle you, and then I want to line up three more guys and make like a circus seal.
Jay makes blowjob faces down an imaginary line of guys looking quite like a performing seal. He throws a little humming sound behind each nod. He then hops up quickly.
Ew, you fucking faggot. I fucking hate guys. I love women. Nah.
A guy comes up to them.
You selling?
I got hits, hash, weed, and later I'll have some shrooms. We take cash or stolen MasterCard and Visa.
Cut to interior convenience store. A small crowd gathers around the activist as he orates. It has become something of a rally.
You're spending what, $20, $30 a week on cigarettes?
$40, $53.
$53? Would you pay someone that much money every week to kill you? Because that's what you're doing now by paying for the so-called privilege to smoke.
We all gotta go sometime.
It's that kind of mentality that allows this cancer-producing industry to thrive. Of course we're all gonna die someday, but what do we have to pay for it? Do we have to actually throw hard-earned dollars on a counter and say, please, please, Mr. Merchant of Death, sir, please sell me something that will give me bad breath, stink up my clothes, and fry my lungs?
It's not that easy to quit.
Of course it's not. Not when you have people like this mindless cretin so happy and willing to sell you nails for your coffin.
Hey, wait a second.
Now he's gonna launch into his rap about how he's just doing his job, following orders, yada yada. Friends, let me tell you about another bunch of hate mongers that were just following orders. They were called Nazis, and they practically wiped out a nation of people from the earth, just like cigarettes are doing now. Cigarette smoking is the new Holocaust, and those that partake in the practice of smoking or sell the wares that promote it are the Nazis of the 90s. He doesn't care how many people die from it. He smiles as you pay for your cancer sticks and says, have a nice day.
I think you better leave now.
You want me to leave? Why? Because someone's telling it like it is? Someone's giving these fine people a wake-up call?
You're loitering here, and you're causing a disturbance.
You're the disturbance, pal. And here, I'm buying some, what's this? Chewy's gum. There, I'm no longer loitering. I'm a customer. A customer engaged in a discussion with other customers.
Yeah, now shut up so he can speak.
Oh, he's scared now. He sees the threat we present. He smells the changes coming and the loss of sales when the non-smokers finally demand satisfaction. We demand the right to breathe cleaner air.
Yeah!
We'd rather chew our gum than embrace slow death. Let's abolish this heinous practice of smoking poison, and if it means ruffling the feathers of a convenience store idiot, then so be it.
That's it. Everybody out.
We're not moving. We have a right, a constitutional right, to assemble and be heard.
Yeah, but not in here.
What better place than this? To stamp it out, you gotta start at the source.
Like, I'm responsible for all the smokers?
The ones in this town, yes. You encourage their growth, their habit. You're the source of it in this area, and we're gonna shut you down for good. For good, cancer merchant.
The small crowd begins to chant and jeer in Dante's face.
Cancer merchant, cancer merchant, cancer merchant.
Veronica enters and surveys the mess. The crowd throws cigarettes at Dante, pelting him in the face. Suddenly a loud blast is heard, and white powder explodes over the throng. Everyone turns to face Veronica as she stands in one of the freezer cases, holding a fire extinguisher.
Who's leading this mob?
The crowd looks amongst themselves. Someone points.
That guy.
The activist carries his briefcase serpentipously toward the door.
Freeze.
Veronica jumps out the freezer case, training the nozzle of the extinguisher on the activist.
Let's see some credentials.
He reaches into his briefcase. She pokes the extinguisher nozzle at him, warningly.
Slowly.
He pulls out a business card and hands it to her. She reads it.
You're a Chewy's gum representative?
He nods.
And you're stirring up all this anti-smoking sentiment to what? Sell more gum?
He nods again.
Get out of here.
He quickly flees. She blasts him with a more chemical as he exits.
And you people, don't you have jobs to go to? Get out of here. Go commute.
The crowd sheepishly exits one by one, offering apologetic glances. Dottie tries to regain his composure. Veronica watches the crowd disperse, disgusted.
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Easily led automatons. Try thinking for yourself before you pelt an innocent man with cigarettes.
The last of the crowd exits. Veronica sets the fire extinguisher down next to Dante. Dante is sitting on the floor, head in his folded arms.
Looks like Tiananmen Square in here for a second.
Dante is silent.
Thank you, Veronica. You saved me from an extremely ugly mob.
Dante remains silent.
Okay, champ, what's wrong?
Dante lifts his head and shoots a disgusted look.
All right, stupid question. But don't you think you're taking this a bit too hard?
Too hard? I don't have enough indigencies in my life. People start throwing cigarettes at me.
At least they weren't lit.
I hate this fucking place.
Then quit. You should be going to school anyway.
Please, Veronica. Last thing I need is a lecture at this point.
All I'm saying is that if you're unhappy, you should leave.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I know. I stopped by your house and your mom said you left at like 6 or something.
The guy got sick and couldn't come in.
Don't you have hockey at 2?
Yes, and that's why I'm going to play like shit, because I didn't get enough good sleep.
Why'd you agree to come in then?
I'm only here till 12, then I'm gone. The boss is coming in.
Why don't you open the shutters and get some sunlight in here?
Somebody jammed the locks with gum.
You're kidding.
Bunch of savages in this town.
You look bushed. What time did you get to bed?
I don't know, like 2:30, 3?
What were you doing up so late?
Nothing.
What were you doing?
Nothing. Jesus, I gotta fight with you now?
Who's fighting? Why are you so defensive?
Who's defensive? Would you just hug me, all right? Your boyfriend was accosted by an angry mob, and he needs to be hugged.
She stares at him.
What? What is that?
She called you, didn't she?
Oh, be real. Would you? Would you please hug me? I just went through a very traumatic experience, and I haven't been having the best day so far. Now, come on.
Veronica stares at him.
What? What's with that look? I wasn't talking to anyone, especially her. Look at you, being all sort of, I don't know, standoffish.
Veronica looks away.
Fine, don't trust me. Don't hug me. I see how it is. All right, pussy pants. You just go on being suspicious and quiet. I don't even want to hug you at this point.
Veronica looks back at him.
Give you a dollar?
Cut to interior convenience store. A note on the counter next to a small pile of money reads, please leave money on the counter. Take change when applicable. Be honest. Dante and Veronica are slumped on the floor behind the counter. Veronica holds Dante in her arms, his leg on her chest. Change is heard hitting the counter.
Thanks.
The door is heard opening and closing, a customer leaving.
How much money did you leave up there?
Like $3 in mixed change and a couple singles. People only get paper of coffee this time of morning.
You're trusting.
Why do you say that?
How do you know they're taking the right amount of change or even paying for what they take?
Theoretically, people see money on the counter and nobody around. They think they're being watched.
Honesty through paranoia. Why do you smell like shoe polish?
I had to use shoe polish to make that sign. The smell won't come off.
Do you think anyone can see us down here?
Why? You want to have sex or something?
Ooh, can we?
Really?
I was kidding.
Yeah, right. You can't get enough of me.
Typical male point of view.
How do you figure?
You show some bedroom proficiency, and now you think you're gods. What about what we do for you?
Women as lovers? You are all basically the same. They just have to be there.
Be there.
Making a male climax is not that challenging. Insert somewhere close and profoundly moist, thrust and repeat.
How flattering.
Now, making a woman come, therein lies a challenge.
Oh, you think so?
A girl makes a guy come, it's a standard. A guy makes a girl come, it's a talent.
And I actually date you.
Something wrong?
I'm insulted. Believe me, Don Juan, it takes more than that to get a guy off. Just being there, as you put it, isn't enough.
I touched a nerve.
I'm astonished to hear that you trivialized my role in our sex life.
It wasn't directed at you. I was just making a broad generalization.
You're making a generalization about broads.
These are my opinions based on my experience with the few women who were good enough to sleep with me.
How many?
How many what?
How many girls have you slept with?
How many different girls? Didn't we already have this discussion once?
We might have. I don't remember. How many?
Including you?
It better be up to and including me.
12.
You've slept with 12 different girls?
Including you? Yes.
She slaps him.
What the hell is that for?
You're a pig.
Why'd you hit me?
Do you know how many different men I've had sex with?
Do I get to hit you after you tell me?
Three.
Three?
Three including you.
You've only had sex with three different people.
I'm not the pig you are.
Who?
You!
No, who were the three besides me?
John Franson and Rob Stanslick.
Wow, that's great. That's something to be proud of.
I am, and that's why you should feel like a pig. You men make me sick. You'll sleep with anything that says yes.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral.
Vegetable meaning paraplegic.
They put up the least amount of struggle.
After dropping a bombshell like that, you owe me big.
All right.
I want you to come with me on Monday.
Where?
To school. There's a seminar about getting back into Scholastic program after a lapse of enrollment.
Can't we ever have a discussion without that coming up?
It's important to me, Dante. You have so much potential that just goes to waste in this pit. I wish you'd go back to school.
Jesus, would you stop? You make my head hurt when you talk about this.
Veronica stands, letting Dante's head hit the floor.
Shit, why are we getting up?
Unlike you, I have a class in 45 minutes.
A handsome young man is standing at the counter. Veronica reacts to him.
Willem.
Ronnie, how are you? You work here now?
No, I'm just visiting my man. Dante, this is Willem Black. This is Dante Hicks, my boyfriend.
How are you? Just a soda?
And a pack of cigarettes. Are you still going to Seton Hall?
No, I transferred into Monmouth last year. I was tired of missing him.
Do you still talk to Sylvian?
I just talked to her on Monday. We still hang out on the weekends.
That's cool. Well, you two lovebirds take it easy, all right?
I will take it easy.
Bye.
Bye. That was Snowball.
Why do you call him that?
Sylvan made it up. It's a blowjob thing.
What do you mean?
After he gets a blowjob, he likes to have the cum spit back into his mouth while kissing. It's called snowballing.
He requests this?
He gets off on it.
Sylvian can be talked into anything.
Why do you say that?
Like you said, she snowballed him.
Sylvian, no. I snowballed him.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious.
A moment of silence as Dante's chuckle fades to comprehension.
You sucked that guy's dick?
Yeah, how do you think I know what he liked?
But you said he only had sex with three guys. You never mentioned him.
That's because I never had sex with him.
You sucked his dick.
We went out a few times. We didn't have sex, but we fooled around.
My God, why did you tell me you only had sex with three guys?
Because I did only sleep with three guys. That doesn't mean I didn't just go with people.
Oh, my God, I feel so nauseous.
I'm sorry, Dante. I thought you understood.
I did understand. I understand that you slept with three different guys, and that's all you said.
Please calm down.
How many?
Dante.
How many dicks have you sucked?
Let it go.
How many?
All right, shut up a second and I'll tell you. Jesus, I didn't freak out like this when you told me how many girls you fucked.
This is different. This is important. How many?
She counts silently, using fingers as marks. Dante waits on a customer in the interim. Veronica stops counting.
Well?
Something like 36.
What? Something like 36?
Lower your voice.
What the hell is that anyway? Something like 36. Does that include me?
37.
37? I'm 37?
I'm going to class.
37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Dante chases Veronica down and grabs her by the door.
Hey, where are you going?
Hey, listen, jerk. Until today, you never even knew how many guys I'd slept with, because you never even asked. And when you act all nonchalant about fucking 12 different girls, well, I never had sex with 12 different guys.
No, but you sucked enough dicks.
Yeah, I went down on a few guys.
A few?
And one of those guys was you, the last one I might add, which, if you're too stupid to comprehend, means that I've been faithful to you since we met. All the other guys I went with was before I met you. So, if you want to have a complex about it, go ahead. But don't look at me like I'm the town whore because you were plenty busy yourself before you met me.
Well, why did you have to suck their dicks? Why didn't you just sleep with them like any decent person?
Because going down isn't a big deal. I used to like a guy, we'd make out, and sooner or later I'd go down on him, but I'd only have sex with the guys I really loved.
I feel sick.
I love you. Don't feel sick.
Every time I kiss you now, I'm going to taste 36 other guys.
Veronica violently lets go of him.
I'm going to school. Maybe later you'll be a bit more rational.
37. I just can't.
Goodbye, Dante.
She exits in a huff. Dante stands there in silence for a moment. Then he swings the door open and yells out,
"Try not to suck any more dicks on your way through the parking lot."
Two men who were walking in the opposite direction outside double back and head in the direction Veronica went.
Hey, hey you, get back here!
Cut to interior convenience store. A video cassette encased in a customary black box flips repeatedly, held by an impatient grasp. The impatient customer glares at Dante. Dante studies a copy of Paradise Lost, making a strong attempt at not noticing the glare.
I thought this place was supposed to open at 11 o'clock. It's 20 after.
I called his house twice already. He should be here soon.
It's not like it's a demanding job. I'd like to get paid to sit on my ass all day and watch TV. The other day I walked in there, and that son of a bitch was sleeping.
I'm sure he wasn't sleeping.
You calling me a liar?
No, he was just resting his eyes.
What the hell is that? Resting his eyes. It's not like he's some goddamn air traffic controller.
Actually, that's his night job.
Such a wise ass. But go ahead, crack wise. That's why you're jockeying a register in some fucking local convenience store instead of doing an honest day's work. I got no time to bullshit around waiting for that son of a bitch. You make sure that this gets back. The number is 812, Wynarski. And I want to get a damn movie, too.
If you just tell me the title, your rental choice, I'll have him hold it for you.
Don't hurt yourself. I'm going to Big Choice Video instead.
He storms out. Dante lifts a ring of keys from the counter.
You forgot your keys.
The half-filled trash can swallows the ring of keys. Cut to exterior convenience store. Another video-anxious customer leans against the video store door. A hapless Randall drifts by and stops. He glances at the door, peers inside, and gives the door a tug.
Guy ain't here yet.
You're kidding. It's like 11:30.
I know. I've been here since 11.
Man. Hate it when I can't rent videos.
I would have went to Big Choice, but the tape I want is right there on that wall.
Really? Which one?
Dental school.
You came for that too? It's the movie I came for.
I have first dibs.
Says who?
Says me. I've been here for a half an hour. I'd call that first dibs.
Ain't gonna happen, my friend. I'm getting that tape.
Like hell you are.
I'll bet you $20 you don't get to rent that tape.
$20?
$20.
Alright, asshole. You're on.
Randall walks away. The impatient customer storms up.
You see a pair of keys around here somewhere?
Cut to interior convenience store. Randall dances in, attempting a soft shoe routine. He sees Dante and stops dead mid-shuffle.
You're late.
What the hell are you doing here? I thought you were playing hockey at 1.
Boss called. Arthur fell ill.
Why are the shutters closed?
Someone jammed gum in the locks.
Bunch of savages in this town.
That's what I said.
Shit, if I'd have known you were working, I would have came even later.
A pile of video cassettes is plopped on the counter with a single key on top. Randall bounces the pile of tapes on his head.
What time do you have to stay till?
He assured me that he'll be here by 12.
It smells like shoe polish.
Go open the store.
Cut to exterior convenience store. The impatient customer stops Randall.
Hey, you see a set of keys lying around here?
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Randall marches off. The impatient customer stares after him.
Fucking kids!
The very anxious customer now sits on the ground next to the video store door. Randall bounces his burden and shoves the key into the lock. The very anxious customer stares as Randall enters the store. The door closes behind him, only to be held ajar in a gentlemanly fashion a few moments later. Randall smiles. Cut to interior convenience store. A coffee filter is shoved into the metal pan and someone heaps ground coffee on it. We've seen the same routine before. Dante crosses back to his post. As Randall enters, tossing the keys in the air happily and catching it. He picks the cat up.
Some guy just came in refusing to pay late fees. He said the store was closed for 2 hours yesterday. Tore his membership up.
Shocking abuse of authority.
I'm a firm believer in the philosophy of the ruling class, especially since I rule. Is the pelican flying?
Don't screw with it. It makes us look suspicious.
Man, I can't stand a voyeur. I'll be right back.
Randall heads towards the walk-in door. Cut to interior, back room. The POV of a VCR. A faraway wall is the only thing we see, but mild gruntings give away an extension of sorts. Randall's head rises into the view as if he's climbing a ladder. He stops, looks into the lens. POV of Randall. The Pelican is a VCR that's hooked up to the surveillance camera. It records quickly. A hand reaches in the frame and shuts it off. Cut to the interior of the convenience store. Randall pulls a soda from the cooler.
Hey, you want something to drink? I'm buying.
No thanks.
Who was on your phone this morning about 2:30? I was trying to get a call in for an hour.
Why?
Wanted to use your car.
He walks by a row of snacks and grabs one without looking at it.
Snack egg?
Dante sits in his seat behind the register. Randall grabs a paper and joins him behind the counter.
You called Caitlin again.
She called me.
So, did you tell Veronica?
One fight a day with Veronica is about all I can stomach. Thanks.
What do you two even fight about?
I guess it's not really fighting. She just wants me to leave here, go back to school, get some direction.
I'll bet the most frequent topic of your arguments is Caitlin Bree.
You win.
I'm going to offer you some advice, my friend. Let the past be the past. Forget Caitlin Bree. You've been with Veronica for how long now?
7 months.
Chick's nuts about you. How long did you date Caitlin?
5 years.
Chick only made you nuts. She cheated on you how many times?
8.5.
8.5?
Party at John Kay's senior year. I got blitzed and passed out in his bedroom. Caitlin comes in and dives all over me.
That's cheating?
In the middle of all of it, she calls me Brad.
She called you Brad?
She called me Brad.
That's not cheating. People say crazy shit during sex. One time, I called this girl Mom.
I hit the lights, and she freaks. Turns out, she thought I was Brad McKenzie.
What do you mean?
She was supposed to meet Brad McKenzie in the bedroom. She picked the wrong one. She had no idea I was even at the party.
Oh, my God.
Great story, isn't it?
That girl was vile to you.
Interesting postscript to that story. Do you know who I wound up going to Brad McKenzie's room?
Your mother.
Alan Harris.
Chess team, Alan Harris?
The two moved to Idaho together after graduation. They raise sheep.
That's frightening.
It takes different strokes to move the world.
In light of this lurid tale, I don't see how you could even romanticize your relationship with Caitlin. She broke your heart and inadvertently drove men to deviant lifestyles.
Because there was a lot of good in our relationship.
Oh, yeah?
I'm serious. Aside from all the cheating, we were a great couple. That's what high school is all about. Algebra, bad lunch, and infidelity.
You think things would be any different now?
They are. When she calls me now, she's a different person. She's frightened. She's vulnerable. She's about to finish college and enter the real world. That's got to be scary for anyone.
Oh, shit. I gotta go place an order.
I'm talking to myself here.
Nah, I'm listening. She's leaving college, and?
And she's looking to me for support. I think that this is leading our relationship to a new level.
But what about Veronica?
I think the arguments Veronica and I are having are some kind of manifestation of some subconscious desire to break away from her so that I can pursue the possibilities of a more meaningful relationship with Caitlin.
And Caitlin's on the same wavelength?
I think it's safe to say yes.
Then I think all four of you had better sit down and talk it over.
All four?
You, Veronica, Caitlin, and Caitlin's fiancé.
The headline in the engagement announcement reads, "Agree to wed Asian design major." Cut to interior video store. Randall dials the phone. He holds a list in his hand.
Yeah, I'd like to place an order. Alright, thanks.
A mother and her smile child approach the counter.
Excuse me, but do you sell videotapes?
Yeah, what were you looking for?
It's called Happy Scrappy, the hero pup.
Happy Scrappy!
I'm on the phone with the distributor house right now. Let me make sure they have it. What's it called again?
Happy Scrappy, the hero pup.
Happy Scrappy!
She loves the tape.
Obviously. Yeah. Hello, this is RST Video calling. Customer number 43029. I'd like to place an order. Alright, yeah, I'm going to need one of each of the following tapes. Whisper in the Wind, To Each His Own, Put It Where It Doesn't Belong, My Pipes Need Cleaning, All Tit Fucking, Volume 8, I Need Your Cock, Ass Worshipping Rim Jobbers, My Cunt and 8 Shafts, Come Clean, Come Gargling Naked Sluts, Come Buns 3, Coming in a Sock, Come on Eileen, Huge Black Cocks with Pearly White Cum, Slam It Up My Too Loose Ass, Ass Blasters in Outer Space, Blowjob My Betsy, Sucking Cock and Cunt, Finger My Ass, Play With My Puss, 3 on a Dildo, Girls Who Crave Cock, Girls Who Crave Cunt, Men Alone 2, The KY Connection, Pink Pussy Lips, and All Holes Filled with Hard Cock. Oh, and,
What was the name of that movie?
Happy Scrappy the Hero Pup.
And a copy of Happy Scrappy the Hero Pump. Okay, thanks. 1649. It'll be here on Monday.
Silence, then.
Con.
Interior convenience store. Dante carries a litter box to be dumped. He pauses mid-strike and lays it on the ice cream chest. Dante picks up the phone and looks at the paper. He dials and waits.
Yes, I'd like to check on the misprint in today's edition. Today's edition. It says Brie to wed Asian designer major. No, everything is spelt fine. I just wanted to know if the piece was a misprint. I don't know, like a typographical error or something.
A customer comes to the counter and waits. He looks at the litter box. A black cat suddenly jumps into it and stares, pawing around.
Maybe it's supposed to be Caitlin Bra or Caitlin Brie with one E? I'm curious party. A curious party.
Dante on the phone.
I'm an ex-boyfriend. Well, it's just that we talk all the time, and she's never mentioned this engagement, which is why I'm thinking that maybe it's a misprint?
The customer watches as the cat takes a huge dump, leaning on its haunches to accommodate the stinky load.
Are you sure? Maybe there's like a vindictive partner working for you.
Dante on the phone?
Meaning like someone who maybe, I don't know, asked her out once and got shut down. And his revenge is throwing this bogus article in when the paper went to press. Hello? Hello?
Dante hangs up. He looks at the paper ruefully, shaking his head. He then sniffs the air. Exterior convenience store. Jay, Silent Bob, and Olaf lean against the wall.
Not in me. That's what she says. I gotta pull out and spank it to get it on. So I blow a nut on her belly, and I get out of there just as my uncle walks in. It was such a close call. I tell you what, though. I don't care if she is my cousin. I'm gonna knock those boots again tonight.
A girl joins them.
Aw, shit. Look who it is, the human vacuum.
Scumbag, what are you doing?
Nothing. Just hanging out with Silent Bob and his cousin.
He's your cousin?
Check this out. He's from Russia.
No way.
I swear to God, Silent Bob, am I lying?
Silent Bob shakes his head.
See? And Silent Bob never told a lie in his life.
What part of Russia?
I don't fucking know. What am I, his biographer? Olaf, what part of Russia are you from?
Olaf looks quizzically at Silent Bob.
Glovnya. Moscow.
He only speaks Russian?
He knows some English, but he can't not speak it good like we do.
Is he staying here?
He's moving to the big city next week. He wants to be a metal singer.
No way!
Swear! Olaf, metal!
Olaf makes a metal face.
That's his fucking metal face. Olaf, girl's nice.
Olaf looks the girls up and down.
Girl, Nick.
That's fucked up.
What did he say?
I don't know, man. He's a fucking character.
He really wants to play metal?
He's got his own band in Moscow. It's called Fuck Your Yankee Blue Jeans or something like that.
That doesn't sound metal.
You gotta hear him sing. Olaf, berserker!
Olaf laughs and shakes his head.
Come on, man! Berserker!
Does he sing in English or Russian?
English. Come on. Berserker, girl thinks sexy.
Nah, duh.
He's gonna sing it. This is too funny.
My love for you is like a truck berserker. Would you like some making fuck berserker?
That's fucking funny, man.
Did he say making fuck?
Wait, there's more. Olaf, sing!
My love for you like a rock berserker. Would you like smoke some pot berserker?
Olaf busts a crimson metal sneer and cackles deeply. Cut to interior video store. Randall leans back in his chair, staring up at the TV. The theme to Star Wars plays. He stands, points the remote, clicks the TV off, and ponders. Cut to the exterior of the video store. Randall locks the door and walks away while Olaf sings for the small crowd.
My love for you is ticking clock, berserker. Would you like to suck my cock, berserker?
Interior convenience store. Dante is tugging at a can of Pringles potato chips. The can is stuck on a man's hand.
You hold the counter, and I'll pull.
Usually I just turn the can upside down.
Maybe we should soap your hand up or something.
Yeah, they ought to put some kind of warning on these cans, like they do with cigarettes.
I think it's coming now.
The can pops off, and Dante staggers back a few steps. The man rubs his hand.
Thanks, I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital.
I'll throw this out. Precautionary measure.
It stings a little.
A word of advice? Sometimes it's best to let those hard-to-reach chips go.
Dante steps behind the counter.
Thanks.
The man exits as Randall enters. Dante throws the canister away.
You know the article is accurate? Caitlin really is getting married.
You know what I just watched?
Me pulling a can off some moron's fist?
Return of the Jedi.
Didn't you hear me? Caitlin really is getting married.
Which did you like better? Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. Luke gets his hand cut off and finds out Vader is his father. Han gets frozen and taken away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. That's life, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
There was something else going on in Jedi. I never noticed it until today.
Randall follows Dante as he cleans up around the store.
What's that?
All right, Vader's boss.
The Emperor?
Right, the Emperor. Now, the Emperor is kind of a spiritual figure, yes?
How do you mean?
Well, he's like the Pope for the dark side of the Force. He's a holy man, a shaman, kind of, albeit an evil one.
I guess.
Now, he's in charge of the Empire, and the Imperial government is under his control, and the entire galaxy is under Imperial rule.
Yeah?
Then wouldn't that logically mean that it's a theocracy? If the head of the Empire is a priest of some sort, then it stands to reason that the government is therefore one based on religion.
It would stand to reason, yes.
Hence, the Empire was a fascist theocracy, and the rebel forces were therefore battling religious persecution.
More or less.
The only problem is that at no point in the series did I ever hear Leia or any of the rebel characters declare a particular religious belief.
I think they were Catholics.
A blue-collar man enters the door.
Are you open?
Yeah, come in.
He goes to the coffee machine and makes a cup of Joe.
You know what else I noticed in Jedi?
There's more.
So they build another Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Now, the first one they built was completely and fully operational before the Rebels destroyed it.
Luke blew it up. Give credit where it's due.
And the second one was still being built when they blew it up.
Compliments of Lando.
Something just never sat right with me the second time they destroyed it. I could never put my finger on it. Something just wasn't right.
And you figured it out?
Well, the thing is, the first Death Star was manned by the Imperial Army's stormtrooper guys, the dignitaries. The only people on board were Imperials.
Basically.
So when they blew it up, no problem. Evil's punished.
And the second time around?
The second time around, it wasn't even finished yet. They were still under construction.
So?
So, a construction job of that magnitude would require a hell of a lot more manpower than the Imperial Army had to offer. I'll bet there were independent contractors working on that thing. I don't know, plumbers, aluminum siders, roofers.
Not just Imperials. Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. In order to get it built quickly and quietly, they'd hire anybody who could do the job. Do you think the average stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet main? All they know is killing and white uniforms.
All right. So even if independent contractors are working on the Death Star, why are you uneasy with its destruction?
All those innocent contractors hired to do a job were killed casualties of a war they had nothing to do with. All right, look. You're a roofer, and some juicy government contract comes your way. You got the wife and kids, the two-story in suburbia. This is a government contract. That means all sorts of benefits. All of a sudden, these left-wing militants blast you with lasers and shit, wipe out everyone within a 3-mile radius. You didn't ask for that. You have no personal politics. You're just trying to scrape out a living.
Excuse me. I don't mean to interrupt. What are you two talking about?
The ending of the Returning of the Jedi.
My friend is trying to convince me that any contractors working on the uncompleted Death Star were innocent victims when the space station was destroyed by the rebels.
Well, I'm a contractor myself. I'm a roofer. Done and ready home improvements. And speaking as a roofer, I can say that a roofer's personal politics come heavily into play when choosing a job.
Yeah, like when?
3 months ago, I was offered a job up in the hills. A beautiful house with tons of property. It was a simple reshingling job, but I was told that if it was finished within a day, my price would be doubled. Then I realized whose house it was.
Whose house was it?
Dominic Bambino's.
Wait, Babyface Bambino? The gangster?
The same. The money was right, but the risk was too big. And who he was, and based on that, I passed the job on to a friend of mine.
Based on personal politics.
Right, and that week, the Farisi family put a hit on Babyface's house. My friend was shot and killed. He wasn't even finished shingling.
No way.
I'm alive because I knew there were risks involved taking on that particular client. My friend wasn't so lucky. You know, any contractor willing to work on that Death Star knew the risks. If they were killed, it was their own fault. A roofer listens to this, not his wallet.
The blue-collar man exits. Dante and Randall remain respectfully quiet for a moment. The angry woman opens the door and pokes her head in.
Is that video store open or not?
Cut to interior video store. Randall reads a newspaper. An undecisive customer studies the two rental choices she holds. She looks from one movie to the other repeatedly.
They say so much, but they never tell you if it's any good.
Randall hardly stirs and continues to read the paper. The indecisive customer half turns to see if her comment was even heard. She tries again, but this time with a different approach.
Are either of these any good?
Randall continues to read. The indecisive customer tries harder, then louder, and more direct.
Sir?
Randall continues to read.
What?
The indecisive customer holds up her rental choices.
Are either of these any good?
Randall, as always, reads on.
I don't know. I don't watch movies.
The indecisive customer is a tad flabbergasted, but not put off.
Well, have you heard anything about either of them?
Randall is his level best to not get involved.
No.
The indecisive customer challenges him.
You've never heard anybody say anything about either movie?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
Well, how about these two movies?
Randall continues to read his paper, not looking up.
They suck.
The indecisive customer smirks smugly at Randall and his paper. She has caught him.
I just held up the same two movies. You're not even paying attention.
No, I wasn't.
I don't think your manager would appreciate...
I don't appreciate your ruse, ma'am.
I beg your pardon?
Your ruse. Your cunning attempt to trick me?
I only pointed out that you weren't paying any attention to what I was saying.
I hope it feels good.
You hope what feels good?
I hope it feels so good to be right. There's nothing more exhilarating than pointing out other people's shortcomings, is there?
The indecisive customer wears a face that belies utter disbelief in the audacity of this most lackadaisical video clerk. The unmoving newspaper illustrates the total disinterest of the news-hungry Randall. The indecisive customer shakes her head in disgust and throws the movies back onto the wall.
Well, this is the last time I run here.
You'll be missed.
Screw you!
She storms out. Randall is offended. He hops over the counter and whips the door open.
Hey, you're not allowed to rent here anymore.
Randall closes the door and stands there momentarily, totally appalled by this existing remark. He shakes his head.
Screw me.
He reaches behind the counter and grabs a ring of keys. Exiting, he locks the door behind him from the outside, gives it a tug to ensure its security, and storms off in the opposite direction from the woman. Cut to interior convenience store. Dante is staring, open mouth, at something off camera. Randall hurls the door open and immediately launches into his tirade.
You'll never believe what this unruly customer just said.
Wait.
She's in here?
This guy, he's going through all the eggs. Look.
An odd man sits on the floor, surrounded by cartons of eggs, all opened. He grabs a carton from the cooler case, pops it open, and examines each egg carefully.
This has been going on for 20 minutes.
Randall and Dante study him oddly.
What's he looking for?
He said he has to find the perfect dozen.
Perfect dozen?
Each egg has to be perfect.
And I'm guessing the quest isn't going so well?
Obviously not. Look at all those cartons that didn't make the grade.
The odd man holds an egg up to the light and studies it from several different angles.
Why doesn't he just mix and match?
I told him that. He yelled at me.
Randall snickers at his friend.
What did he say?
He said that it was important to have standards. He said nobody has pride anymore.
It's not like you laid the eggs yourself.
I'll give him 5 more minutes, then I'm calling the cops. I don't need this. Man, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
A smoker steps in.
2 packs of cigarettes?
Dante manages to break his study of the oddity and searches for the smokes. The smoker glares at Randall and then at the oddity. The old man is spinning an egg on the floor. The smoker looks at Randall.
I'm as puzzled as you.
I've actually seen it before.
You know him?
No, but I've seen that behavior before. Looking for the perfect carton of eggs, right?
Yeah. How'd you know?
I'll bet you $1,000,000 that guy's a guidance counselor.
Why do you say that?
I was in the food city last year when the same thing happened. Different guy, though. Stock boy told me that the guy had been looking through the cartons of eggs for like half an hour, doing all sorts of endurance tests and shit. I asked the kid how come nobody called the manager, and he said it happens twice a week, sometimes more.
Get out of here.
I kid you not. They call it shelf shock. Only happens with guidance counselors for some reason. The kids said they used to make a big deal about it, but there's no point.
The odd man places a handkerchief over an egg on the floor. He quickly whisks the handkerchief away to reveal the egg, still sitting on the floor.
He said they always pay for whatever they break and they never bother anybody.
Dante, Randall, and the smoker stare at the man.
Why guidance counselors?
If your job served as little purpose as theirs, wouldn't you lose it too?
You know, come to think of it, my guidance counselor was pretty worthless.
See? It's important to have a job that makes a difference, boys. That's why I kill Chinese for the railroad.
Cut to interior convenience store. POV Randall. A little girl comes into view, smiling and holding money. She can't be more than 5.
Can I have a pack of cigarettes?
Randall, without looking up from his magazine, completes the transaction. The little girl puts a cigarette in her mouth. Randall hands her matches. Dante returns to the counter as the girl skips away. Dante holds a price gun.
Did you ever notice all the prices end in 9? Damn, that's eerie.
Hey, you know how much money the average jizzmopper makes per hour?
What's a jizzmopper?
He's the guy in those nudie booth joints that cleans up after each guy jerks off.
Nudie booth?
Nudie booth. You've never been in a nudie booth?
I guess not.
A customer pops up. Items on the counter. Dante rings her up.
Oh, it's great. You step into this little booth, and there's this window between you and this naked woman. She puts on this little show for you for like $10.
What kind of show?
Think of the weirdest, craziest shit you'd like to see chicks do. These chicks do it all. They insert things into any opening in their body. Any opening. He's led a very sheltered life.
Can we talk about this later?
The jizzmopper's job is to clean up the booths afterwards, because practically everybody shoots a load against the window, and I don't know if you know it or not, but cum leaves streaks if you don't clean it up right away.
This is the last time I come to this place.
Excuse me?
Using filthy language in front of the customers. You should both be fired.
We're sorry, ma'am. We got a little carried away.
Well, I don't know if sorry can make up for it. I found your marks highly offensive.
The customer stands silently, awaiting something.
Well, if you think that's offensive...
Randall flips open the magazine's centerfold, a graphic picture of a woman with her vagina lips and an anus spread wide open.
Then check this out. I think you can see her kidneys.
Randall checks out the centerfold wistfully. Dante frantically apologizes to the rapidly exiting customer.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, please. Wait a second. Ma'am!
The customer is gone. Dante's pursuit stops at the counter. Dante turns to Randall.
Why do you do things like that? You know she's gonna come back and tell the boss.
Who cares? That lady's an asshole. Everybody that comes in here is too uptight. This job would be great if it wasn't for the fucking customers.
I'm gonna hear it tomorrow.
You gotta loosen up, my friend. You'd feel a hell of a lot better if you'd rip into the occasional customer.
What for? They don't bother me if I don't bother them?
Liar. Tell me there aren't customers that come in and annoy the piss out of you on a daily basis.
They aren't.
How can you lie like that? Why don't you vent? Vent your frustrations to me. Come on, who pisses you off?
That's not really any one per se. That's... more a separate groupings?
Let's hear it.
The milkmaids.
The milkmaids?
The woman that goes through every gallon of milk looking for the later date. As if there's somewhere beyond all the other gallons, there's a container of milk that won't go bad for like a decade.
You know who I can do without? I could do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
A series of people addressing the camera, asking dumb questions.
What would you give for a 6-year-old who chronically wets his bed?
Do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
And they never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the rack.
An identical series of customers finding their ideal choices.
Ooh, Home Alone!
Ooh, Hook!
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
It's like, in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
You think you get stupid questions? You should hear the barrage of stupid questions I get.
A series of people standing in various locations throughout the convenience store asking truly dumb questions.
What do you mean there's no ice? You mean I gotta drink this coffee hot?
How much?
Do you sell hubcaps?
See, you vented. Now don't you feel better?
No.
Why not?
Because my ex-girlfriend is getting married.
Jesus, you got a one-track mind. It's always Caitlin.
Veronica!
Dante gives Randall a shove to shut him up. Veronica enters the store carrying books and something covered with aluminum foil.
What happened to Home by 12?
Dante is suddenly by her side, taking the books from her under her arm.
He still hasn't showed up. Why aren't you in class?
Lit 101 got canceled, so I stopped home and I brought you some lunch.
What is it?
Peanut butter and jelly with a crust cut off, and what do you think? It's lasagna.
Really? You're the best.
I'm glad you calmed down a bit.
37.
Shut up. Yes, I've calmed down. I'm still not happy about it, but I've been able to deal.
Randall makes loud slurping noises.
Why don't you go back to the video store?
Randall walks past the two and pats Veronica on the head. He exits.
You had to tell him.
I had to tell someone. He put it into perspective.
And what did he say?
At least he wasn't 36.
And that made you feel better?
And he said most of them are college guys I've never met or seen.
The ostrich syndrome. If you don't see it...
It isn't there, yes.
Thank you for being rational.
Thank you for the lasagna.
You couldn't get those shutters open?
I called the locksmith and he said the earliest he could be here is tomorrow.
Well, bummer. I've got to head back for the 1:30 class.
What time do you get finished?
8. But I have a sorority meeting till 9, so I'll be back before you close. Can we go out and get some coffee?
Sure.
Good. I'll see you when you close then. Enjoy the lasagna.
She exits. Dante leans against the magazine rack with his lasagna, contemplative. Randall pops his head in and makes the loud slurping noise again. Interior video store. Randall is recommending titles to potential customers.
Alright, now if you're really feeling dangerous tonight, then Smokey and the Bandit 3 is the movie you must rent.
This doesn't even have Burt Reynolds in it.
Hey, neither did E.T., but that was a great movie, right?
Dante opens the door and leans in.
Can you come next door? I gotta make a phone call.
Smokey 3, thumbs up, am I right?
The best Burtless movie ever.
Dante exits. Randall gives his customer the what did I tell you look. Cut to interior convenience store. The cat lies on the counter. Pull back to reveal Randall as he rings up an order. The customer pets the cat, smiling.
He's cute. What's his name?
Lennon's Tomb.
Over to Dante, on the phone.
Hello, is Mr. Schneider there? This is Dante. Did he say if he was on his way here? Here, the convenience store. I know, but the other guy called in this morning, and Mr. Schneider asked me to cover until he got here. He said he'd be here by noon. It's 1:30 now, so I... Excuse me? Vermont? No, that can't be. I talked to him this morning. He left at what time? He really went to Vermont? When the hell was somebody going to tell me? He promised he was coming in by noon. Jesus, when does he get back? Tuesday? You gotta be fucking kidding me. I got a hockey game at 2, and the fucking shutters are jammed closed, and he's in Vermont? I'm not even supposed to be here today. So I'm stuck here till closing? This is just great. I just can't even believe. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. No, I'll be all right. Well, that's all I can do, right? Thanks.
He hangs up. Randall joins him.
Vermont?
Can you believe this?
He didn't mention it when he called you this morning?
Not a fucking word. Slippery shit.
So what, you're stuck here all day?
Fuck.
Why'd you apologize?
What?
I heard you apologize. Why? You have every right in the world to be mad.
I know.
That seems to be the lead motif in your life. Never backing down.
I don't back down.
Yes, you do. You always back down. You assume blame that isn't yours. You come in when called as opposed to enjoying your day off. You buckle like a belt.
I know what pisses me off the most.
The fact that I'm right about your buckling.
I'm gonna miss the game.
Because you buckled.
Would you shut the hell up with that shit? It's not helping.
Hey, don't yell at me, pal.
Sorry.
See? There you go again.
I can't believe I'm going to miss the game.
At least we're stuck here together.
You've got a customer.
What? What do you want?
Dante shakes his head in frustration and picks up the phone again.
Stanford? Dante. I can't play today. I'm stuck at work. I know, I'm not scheduled, but just forget it. I can't play. Neither can Randall. He's working too.
Randall comes back. Dante rolls his eyes to the ceiling.
Wait a second. Do we have to play at the park? Hold on. Do you feel limber?
Oh, brother.